KUFO, Portland's Rock.
Welcome to the real world. Death can come for at any time, in any place, any place, any place, any place. There is only one way to save our city.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We ain't shaming."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We ain't shaming."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live from Portland, Oregon. Once again, giving you all the information that no one else dares to give you. We give it here on Ground Zero. Between the rock and the talk, we give you a lot of information that you have to roll over in your mind and try to figure out if you're living in a crazy world, which you are living in a crazy world. And I'm the madman at the end of the microphone that's going to make it more crazy tonight. Matter of fact, a lot of strange things happened during the week that I want to let you know about. And want to let you know some other things, too, some interesting news. Ground Zero Media now has a Facebook page. You can look it up online and befriend us so that if you need to have updates that are Ground Zero-oriented, I've got my own personal web page, but I'd like to also get the Ground Zero web page available. It's Ground Zero Media, and you can do it there. Also, I'm on Twitter, Clyde Lewis on Twitter, if you want to check me out and follow me on Twitter. See, what happens is whenever any of the information that I have comes out and I put it together and I send it out, it updates you on your cell phone or it updates you at the Facebook site. And that way you can be updated on what's been going on in the world of Ground Zero. And a lot of things have been going on. I just wanted to make it clear to you that there has been a lot of strangeness going on. And it's funny because we were on the air a couple weeks ago talking about coronal mass ejections happening with the sun. And we're saying, hey, it was happening. It's what caused the earthquake in Chile. We had the red ring. We had all this other crazy stuff going on. And it was amazing how it all seemed to transpire. Well, for those of you that don't know, we were hit by a coronal mass ejection. This planet was hit by one on the 17th of this month. And on the 18th of this month, many people in Oregon had a chance to see the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. It got down this far south, and a lot of people said they were amazed by what they saw. The sun activity is unprecedented, and it's amazing what's been going on. Now, Rex Church came on this program, still talking about him. Rex Church came on this program, and he told us that he felt that something alien was going on out there. He felt that something was coming at us from space. What you don't know is if you go to groundzeromedia.org and look in the breaking news links, you can catch up on them if you haven't seen them yet. But I have footage of the sun, and I have pictures of the sun that were taken by NASA's stereo viewer and also by SOHO, which is the solar observatory. They show some amazing things going on with the sun. And the amazing things that they're showing with the sun is not only did we have that column that was a million miles long that snapped the southern hemisphere of the sun, but last weekend, well, actually, was it last weekend? No, it was in the middle of the week, last week, or this week, depending on how you look at it. The sun was hit by no more than four asteroids and comets. Now, you may say to yourself, well, so what? It doesn't affect you. Well, it does affect you. Because those four asteroids and comets were the size of the planet Mercury. They were huge. And they hit the sun, causing coronal mass ejections. And some of them were big enough to cause problems with the satellites, phone systems. A lot of people getting sick. A lot of people feeling their nasal cavities swelling up and coughing and feeling kind of under the weather. A lot of people are feeling under the weather now. See, the Aurora Borealis was seen. The sun is acting in a peculiar way. The sun is doing something bizarre. And not only that, it's not just the sun, but what is around the sun that has people concerned. And what is around the sun are huge planet-like UFOs that have been hovering around the sun. And something has been flinging these comets and meteors and asteroids into the sun, creating these coronal mass ejections, which is fascinating. Something is happening in space. We are watching these things happen, and we're reporting them here on Ground Zero. They're not going to report them to you in the mainstream. Why? Because they don't want you to panic. They don't want you to panic. But, you know, what's really odd, and I'm not much for religion, but what's really odd is the religious groups. Some of the religious groups are talking about this stuff. Now, I told you that the Catholic Church had said that aliens and anomalies in space have been going on. I told you that the University of Arizona, some of the scientists there are saying that aliens exist in something called the shadow biosphere, that all you have to do to look for alien life is to look here on planet Earth because it's all come from the sky. Panspermia, it's come down from comets and meteors. Well, here's another thing I want to play for you, and I apologize for it being long, but it's important that you hear it. What I'm about to play for you is it's taken from a speech that was given by Louis Farrakhan, who is the leader of the Nation of Islam. Now, what's bizarre about this speech is that he tells his flock, his congregation, that there is a huge UFO hovering near the sun, that Elijah Muhammad and several other characters he speaks of received visions of two stars or a planet accompanying the sun, and that we're seeing these things happen in the heavens. These are happening now. There's a huge UFO, and he compares it to Ezekiel's wheel. He calls it the Great Plane with 1,500 planes in it. And then he goes on to say that what happened in Haiti was the same thing that happened, or the same thing that Rex Church had said happened in Chile. That they created a wall of fire, or they created some sort of column or wormhole that devastated Haiti. I want you to listen to this carefully. The man sounds like he's lost his mind, and a lot of people may think he has lost his mind, but he did come right out and say it, that something is hitting us from space. Here we go.
Master Farad Muhammad pointed out to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a dreadful-looking plane in the sky, a half a mile, a human-built planet on which were 1,500 little planes that were up there in fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision that you find in the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter from the 1st to the 28th verses. When you go home, you read now. He pointed out a blue and a red star that signifies complete and universal change, a star that only appears once every 50,000 years. We are in the midst of it now, a complete universal change. The world wants change. The world needs change. But the change that the world needs cannot be brought about by any politician of this world. This is a change to be brought about by God Himself.
That's correct.
Those planes know everything about your military installations. You've caught them over all the military installations, not only here, but in England, in France, in Germany, in Russia, in China, in India. You want to know where they come from? You want to give the credit to somebody from outer space? Hell no. There ain't no outer space. You are a baby, white folks, in your knowledge, listen, of science. We only gave you one book of higher mathematics, and you built a great world. But there are 59,999 more. So that's why your scientists said they are faster than our technology by a million years. They're made from here. The finest steel. Oh, man. They fly at speed. They clock them at 9,000 and more. Those people are the angels. They're up there. They know what you think. And before you can execute, they know it. These are the people from God. Now, they ask, why is the government keeping it a secret? They kept asking that over and over this morning. Well, let me tell you. L. Ron Hubbard, in his book on radiation, said, whenever there's a weapon that a nation has no defense against, that nation's sovereignty is threatened. Because it is the duty of every nation to protect its citizens. So when America developed the hydrogen bomb, the atom bomb, and this high technology weaponry, and Russia did, both of them made all the smaller nations feel frightened. And so each of them had a camp. Russian in the camp of Russia, in the camp of America, right? That weapon it is so powerful. The angels on that human-built planet know how to make a wall out of air. And that's why the Bible said, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. They can wall in America, where you can't come in or go out, and cut a shortage in gravity and start a fire coming all the way down. Look, you've been talking about fire next time. Well, hey, you didn't think that God was true to his own word? These people have no weapon to fight God?
None.
None. None. There's sound on that wheel that can cause buildings to come down. That wheel has been up there since 1929, and it has bothered nobody. There's another part to that wheel. The New Jerusalem. A toxic planet with toxic air, toxic water, toxic earth. Up there, everything we got down here, they got it up there. But it's perfectly pure.
Perfect.
And the wisdom to purify the planet is there. To heal all disease is there.
The reason why I bring this up and I play this for you is not because of the fact I want to let you know that I think that Louis Farrakhan's got it all together. I want you to hear what he's been saying, what he said about these beings that have this UFO and they're flying it near the sun, and they're able to take a column of air, superheat it, and put it down onto an area and cause buildings to shake, a death ray, if you will, or a wormhole. saying that they live on this planet. It's a human-made planet that's in space. Okay, and then he says, how it is down here, it's like it is up there. Remember, we were talking about as above, so below last week. So everything that we've been talking about on the show and everything that's been esoteric that's been lifted and placed into this program has now been repeated, if not by people like Louis Farrakhan, but others, talking about what's going on with the sun. Was there intelligence behind these earthquakes who were being, you know, everybody says HAARP here and HAARP there. We brought up HAARP too. But maybe there's something more to it than that. Maybe we are seeing some intelligence coming from space. Something huge coming at us from out there. And that's what I had said. I had said something is happening. Something huge is coming at us from space. Now, a lot of people called the show last week and tried to give their interpretations of what it might be, and someone had called and said something about Planet X. Now, for the longest time, I had not even wanted to touch Planet X because a lot of people who got involved with Planet X have been kind of like weird and out there and crazy and making up all these stories about Planet X coming and destroying the world in 2012. Well, Planet X has a richer history than just the idea of Nibiru or some other weird planet coming back into the solar system. Planet X is also associated with things called the Black Sun, the Nemesis, or even Vulcan as a companion star to the Sun, one that cannot be seen. Well, for the longest time, NASA was bitching and moaning about the movie 2012 when it came out. They were saying, we hope that nobody thinks that this planet Nibiru or Planet X is going to come and destroy the world because it's not going to happen. What's really odd is they brought up Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever. They brought up Planet X when the whole movie 2012 had nothing to do with Planet X. In fact, if you recall, if you've seen the movie 2012, it's about a sun storm, a solar storm, hitting the planet and triggering a volcanic eruption in Yellowstone. Now, the interesting thing is, during the sun storms we were having, the CMEs, the coronal mass ejections, we had that earthquake in Chile, and then after we had our last CME that was reported on the 16th or 17th, we had the Northern Lights here in Oregon. We had an Icelandic volcano erupt. A volcano erupted in Iceland. And now, NASA, and this is no joke, NASA has decided to investigate the possibility that a dwarf star, a companion to our sun, Nemesis, a hypothetical, once hypothetical companion to the sun, may exist. They're saying that they have to look into the possibility that it exists. In an article found in the London Telegraph, it appears that the search is on for what they're calling the Death Star. The Death Star that circles the sun and it catapults potentially catastrophic comets at the Earth, at the sun. It's the Nemesis. They say that Nemesis is actually, you know, they're debating on whether it's a planet or a star. It's about five times the size of Jupiter. And a lot of people say that had something to do with the dinosaurs being killed off 65 million years ago. And Nemesis is predicted to lie at a distance equal to 25,000 times that of the Earth from the sun, or a third of a light year away. Now, they're saying that it's a failed star, it's hard to detect, so they got this new equipment called the Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, the WISE is what they call it. They launched it last year. They're going after Planet X. They're going after Nemesis. They're going after Vulcan. They're going after, I don't know, you find the names. It has several names. Nibiru, Planet X, the Black Sun, which I find interesting that they're looking for the Black Sun because, I don't know if any of you know this or not, but the Thule Society, a group that was part of the Nazis in the 1930s and 40s, actually had a secret society within the Thule Society called the Black Sun Society, and the Black Sun Society gave power to the government. It was a supernatural occult group called the Black Sun Society. So, you have your Black Sun, you have your Nemesis, your so-called Vulcan that triggers volcanoes. This is not Star Trek I'm talking. This is reality, okay? These are hypothetical planets or hypothetical stars that now are starting to get some attention of NASA. You understand? What Louis Farrakhan just said sounded crazy. But now NASA's saying, well, we might as well look into the possibility because we just had four, count them, four mercurial-sized comets and asteroids flung at the sun. At groundzeromedia.org, we have the pictures of those UFOs. At groundzeromedia.org, we do have footage taken from SOHO and from the stereo NASA sites of those comets hitting the Earth. We have the CMEs, but what we don't have is Planet X. Coming up, my guest, Jason Martell, who has not been on this show for many years, is going to make a return. Martell is one of the most brilliant and more articulate guests about what's going on with Planet X. He's not going to go on some flights of fancy. He's going to give you some ideas of what might be happening and what may be going on. And he's here tonight. We're going to talk to him after the break about what's going on. XFacts.com, Jason Martell, Planet X, Nibiru, Vulcan, Nemesis. NASA is reconsidering, and they may be sending out probes to try and find it. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. We'll be back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Tonight we investigate why NASA has had an about-face regarding the possibility of a rogue planet or perhaps a companion star to the sun. You know, for the longest time, I've had this discussion about whether or not we live in a binary system. And there's been talk about Planet X. There's been talk about Nibiru. There's been all this talk about some strange planet or star that's supposed to make an arrival before 2012. And for the longest time, I haven't talked about it because I think that a lot of it is based on pseudoscience and faulty logic. However, NASA now, instead of bitching about whether or not this is happening, are saying it just might be true. So we're going to send out a probe to figure it out. I called as my guest tonight Jason Martell, who's been involved with investigating such things as Planet X and other great marvels and wonderful things. He's appeared on the History Channel, the Discovery Channel. The man is amazing. I remember when he was just first starting out. I had him on the Ground Zero show back in the 1990s, well into my national show. And now, after 4 years of not being around and back on the air again, he's still around and he's still doing good work. Welcome to the show, Jason Martell. Hi, Jason. Welcome back to Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. Thank you. It's an honor to be back on your show.
Thank you so much. Now, I was talking about the Louis Farrakhan just recently made a statement from the Nation of Islam saying that we are going to be experiencing two stars in the sky, or a planet and a star, or a planet and a sun. It will come, and then this huge other UFO planet will come and basically take out the major cities. All this other stuff. He's talking Planet X. He's talking Nibiru. Not only that, but NASA has now said that they're going to investigate the possibility of Nemesis or Vulcan existing. What are your thoughts on that after all these years of being told that maybe Planet X is a farce?
First of all, the people that have been calling it a farce have mainly been mainstream academia. And usually that's just because of the fact that it's very hard to have physical evidence on a topic such as this, and so we really have to rely on the science and the data. Yes, I would agree with you that, first of all, the statement by Farrakhan is extremely interesting, that he would be bringing in a tangible spiritual reference and not just kind of speaking off the hip, actually giving a reference to something tangible taking place. There's been a lot of predictions along these lines, not always from notable people such as this gentleman, of course. So I think that does at least raise an eyebrow.
Well, the Catholic Church making their statements about extraterrestrials, and also the observatory that they have near the University of Arizona certainly has something to actually think about, because now scientists there are saying that there is alien life and that the biosphere, the shadow biosphere, exists. and quite possibly, I'm sure, planets like Planet X or Nibiru, as the Hopis and the Sumerians say, you know, maybe there's something to the winged disc legend.
Well, you know, I mean, just quickly, just with the Sumerian reference, it is interesting that many of the Sumerian tablets that speak of the time when Nibiru, this very large planet, which we can discuss tonight, was seen by man physically in the skies, and there are several stone tablet, what are called cylinder seal depictions, that you can see, for instance, a man plowing the earth, and he's looking up and shielding his eyes, and you can see clearly what is the sun, but also another very bright glowing object, which is in the form of a glowing cross, and he's shielding his eyes from Nibiru so that they can actually see the sun, as well as a very bright red, what looked like a glowing cross of this additional planet as it passed through the inner solar system.
Fascinating you should bring up a glowing cross, especially when the idea of Nibiru, Nemesis, or Vulcan is part of the crossing, the idea of the planet crossing and basically finding itself in the center of the solar system, much like what I've talked about before with the star constellation Ophiuchus, where that is where the serpent bearer is. And, of course, the Mayans have said that in 2012 we'll be seeing the serpent ropes come down, and the serpents or the gods from the areas of the serpent or Serpentarius will make their appearance known in the center of the universe, which I find interesting.
Well, the Mayans definitely have a key role in this term of 2012 in today's, you know, in today's interest. I just participated in a panel with several other key researchers, Michael Cremo, Stan Deo, kind of talking about what are the ramifications of any, if any, for 2012. And I will say this, you know, I don't really give a large prediction for any physical events taking place. The Mayans had several calendars, and one of them on the long count calendar, they made these baktuns, predictions. And one of these predictions, of course, says in 2012 that, you know, their calendar and their time stops. Now, in previous baktuns, they've, you know, on one of them predicted the return of their god Kublai Khan, and unfortunately the conquistadors showed up and aggressively converted them all to Christianity and burned the codices. So I think people's interpretation of what these things have been left to us are still open to what they could mean. But definitely, I think everyone at an esoteric level does get a sense that something, whether it be a large pulse of energy coming from the galactic center or, you know, us coming to alignment with the center of the galaxy, there are some very esoteric things astronomically taking place around those time frames. So, you know, it's an interesting time to be alive for sure.
It certainly is. And what's really interesting is for those of, there's a lot of people out there that'll say, well, this is all about astrology and it's all about stars aligning and it's about the sun affecting you. But, you know, the truth is that this stuff does affect you. These guys, these ancient Babylonian writers, these people who create the secret school training, the occult, it's all based around the sun. It's all based on the power of the sun. And we were talking about, in fact, talking about the eye, the great eye in the sky. We've talked about that, too. And we've talked about all these strange, anomalous phenomena that has just shown up. And it's like taken right out of either, I guess you could say, the Bible or the science fiction comic books. Or someone was telling me the other day, it's like we're living in a strange B movie now, and I can't believe. In fact, I cannot believe what I'm talking about tonight. NASA considering investigating the possibility of Nemesis or Vulcan or Nibiru, pretty much.
Well, it is an interesting thing that they've been kind of sliding into the light and acknowledging it. There have been several, let's call them extrasolar bodies outside of Pluto. Maybe not to the quite of the interest that we're looking for, which would be something 4 to 8 times the size of Earth. But we found, you know, Quoar, Sedna, Xena, several of these large ice bodies, if you will, floating out there. And it is interesting, Clyde, I must say, it is interesting you brought it to my attention. Thank you that you're right. NASA has now, you know, at least written an article or acknowledged the theory of Nemesis. And Nemesis, briefly, if I can just touch on that, you're right that, you know, most of the solar systems, external solar systems that we image, like with Hubble, we found to be binary, having two suns. So it stands to light that, you know, maybe we have a binary solar system, which just simply means two suns. Now, people go, okay, well, then where's our other sun? I don't ever see it. And that's probably because our other sun has failed, just like ours will eventually in, you know, 10 billion years or something. But our other sun has turned into a brown dwarf, so it's a dormant sun. And there has been a theory out there. I was aware of one by Dr. Richard Mueller out of Berkeley, who did some predictions based upon his research looking at the why the extinction of the dinosaurs took place, and it could have been a cyclic event that was taking place over time. And so he used the idea of Nemesis, that well beyond you know, the deep part of our solar system, well beyond Pluto, you know, you go another billion miles or so out there, there's this Oort cloud, which is like another asteroid belt. And around this asteroid belt, there are large comets and debris that it's thought that, for instance, this other sun has, you know, another large planet that orbits it. And this planet, in the theory of Nemesis, dislodges large pieces of comets and debris, which occasionally comes towards us, the inner part of the solar system, as we can see evidence across all the other planets of being bombarded by, you know, comets and debris. So, they, you know, the theory is that possibly these comets and things being dislodged by Nemesis in this far, far out asteroid belt are cyclically coming in and, you know, causing havoc for the inner solar system.
I think the situation with the sun in the past couple of days has NASA frightened. I think that when we see all, I mean, they gave a simple explanation or a speculation as to why last week the sun had, you know, four celestial bodies the size of Mercury hit it, and that didn't get reported in the national news. That was not, I mean, you don't want to wake up and hear that your sun had been hit by something the size of the planet Mercury four separate times. You don't want to hear that there are strange planet-sized UFOs hovering around the sun, which I have pictures of on my website. You don't want to hear that you're getting these coronal mass ejections that are causing volcanoes to erupt in Iceland, that are causing quite possibly the Chilean earthquakes, and also northern lights getting as far south as where we are here in Oregon. I think that what's going on now is I think that NASA is frightened. I think that they immediately, I mean, they've made a mistake. I mean, Michio Kaku went on Fox News and said that he believed that NASA, that the scientists at NASA, that most of the scientists that are looking at the universe and space weather are saying they miscalculated everything by a factor of 20. And that now they have to backtrack and figure out where they went wrong, and they have to now dig deep into what they're seeing as ancient Sumerian literature, what they're seeing as Mayan literature, and all the things that they've denied and basically said are just hogwash and crazy. And now they're beginning to think, well, maybe the cranks are correct, that maybe there is something out there that's coming at us. And maybe, I mean, you get people like Louis Farrakhan that tells his congregation that this is happening. You got the Catholic Church saying, yeah, if aliens are found, we'll accept them as creatures of God. You know, my question is who's going to be next coming forward? The government is stubborn, yet NASA is kind of burying in articles like you just read. They're burying in articles that, yes, they are deciding that maybe something's out there. I mean, I just find it that these are the times we're living in, and how are people going to find out the truth?
Right. Well, if you look at NASA's track record, you know, you bring up a good point there. They've downplayed many celestial events in the past that have turned out to be extremely show-worthy. For instance, Shoemaker-Levy 9, where a comet broke up into several large fragments and then impacted the surface of Jupiter, leaving scars on the surface of Jupiter where each one of these individual scars could hold 4 to 8 times the size of Earth. Sometimes I think actually even 10 times the size of Earth in one or two of them. So these were extremely large astronomical events that NASA said, oh, you don't even need to watch to the amateur astronomers. They're like, there's nothing going to happen. It will be a very minimal event. And yet now the evidence recorded is just completely the opposite.
Wasn't it just recently that we had a report that an asteroid came within 40,000 miles of planet Earth, and they had no idea, and they reported after the fact that the asteroid came within 40,000 miles. That's less than lunar distance. I mean, we're at 250,000 with the moon. So you have something, a celestial body moving over the planet about the size of, They said it was about the size of Rhode Island, flying towards us at 40,000 miles. I mean, it's like, you know, that's the thing that I'm worried about, is that, you know, we've got all this stuff going on in space, and no one, no reporter, no mainstream news outlet is going to tell the world that the sun is spitting at us, that something out in space is knocking at our door, and if we don't answer, they're going to take us out. I mean, do you think that people would panic if they heard that that was going on, and that's why they don't report it in the news? Why do you think they don't report it in the news?
Well, I think there's probably social implications. I mean, if you, NASA's inception, in the late 50s, early 60s, they, consulted a huge think tank called the Brookings Institute, and Brookings Institute advised them that if you ever find, for instance, evidence of extraterrestrials or some impending large, cataclysmic event, that the world would need to be quarantined from that information, because exactly that, it would cause shock and awe and panic. Another interesting thing about, large bodies in space, coming close to us is, I often wonder if, our technology at some point would exceed or have the ability, for instance, to divert space, faring objects into exact longitude and latitude coordinates here on Earth.
You mean steer them?
I'm sorry?
You're talking about steering them?
Steer them.
Yeah.
Let's say a comet or an asteroid were to, for instance, take out Iraq at some, specific point in time. How do you justify that as an attack when it's a comet or an asteroid that's, struck the surface of the planet?
Yeah, I'm sure they do have ways. I'm sure they do have ways of maybe firing on it to push it towards a certain area. But, what about those things that we don't see? Like, for example, gamma ray bursts. You remember, if you recall, back in December of 2004, there was a huge gamma ray burst that came from Ophiuchus, the center of the galaxy. It came, it was between Sagittarius and Scorpius. It came down, it hit us. It came from about 45,000 light years from Earth. It hit us. It bent the magnetosphere. And what did we have going on at the time? We had the Indonesian earthquake and the Asian tsunami around the same time. So you have this huge gamma burst that you can't see with the naked eye. It was fired out of the center of the universe where, allegedly, according to legend, the gods live. I mean, it's almost as if, a message is being sent to us from space, and we ignore it, and then secretly NASA says, uh-oh, the gods must be angry. We got to find out what's going on. So we go after Nemesis, or we go after Nibiru, or we go after Planet X, and we don't tell anybody because it's kind of embarrassing that those people who are on late-night talk shows talk about it, and we don't. I mean, it's almost like, you have to kind of duck your head a little bit and say, well, I know something about Planet X. So, I mean, do you get laughed at when you talk about Planet X?
Well, I never get laughed at when I talk about Planet X, simply because, at least not to my face, the research that I do relies on facts and evidence. And what we do have is, a vast amount of evidence that not only comes from, scientific modern sources, but why it's so intriguing is exactly what you've just said, is whether NASA chooses to acknowledge it or not, anyone who, looks into this information of Planet X and the companion ancient part of Nibiru, the term Nibiru simply meant a planet of the crossing, and that's why it was, symbolized as a glowing cross. But, from our most ancient records on Earth, of where we have biblical tales being told to us in their most ancient form, there are, a much longer tale told of how our solar system gets created, and it involves this other planet, and more specifically, beings on this planet that have influenced our culture, and then throughout time have been listed as gods. In every culture around the world, we speak of a time when there were, for instance, the giants upon the earth, or in Hebrew, the Nephilim, the fallen ones. And every culture around the world has these stories of a time when they interacted with their living gods that didn't come from the mountains, they didn't come from across the lake, they came from the skies.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny you should bring up, you're always bringing up the cross, and I think that's awesome that you're doing that, because my article that I have on my website, groundzeromedia.org, and the breaking news links is called The Prophecy of the Black Sun, or The Black Sun Prophecy. And in it, I have pictures of the symbol of the healer, or the caduceus, which represents also the cross, the crucifix, because it shows the snake hanging on the cross. Now, these are symbols of the idea of something or of a planet or something, some celestial body crossing the solar system or the galaxy. And the Celtic cross, if you take a look at the Celtic cross, it has the circle and then it has the cross in it of the planet crossing the center of the universe. It's almost like the second coming or the coming of the great planet or the great body from space or from the universe. Could this
be? Many people are familiar with that symbol, the cross, which, you know, originally did stem out of ancient Iraq. What we're talking about here is Sumer. You can call it Mesopotamia, Babylon, but Sumer. And what's really interesting about that symbol, Clyde, is the cross for Nibiru, the home of the gods, has evolved into other Semitic languages, believed as a winged disc. So you see the Akkadian flag has a picture of one of these Anunnaki, which is basically a being with wings. The Egyptian sun god Ra is a disc with wings. So that symbol and Nibiru today, as far as in the most recent versions of Akkadian, which are derivatives of Sumerian, again, it's, you know, this winged disc that you see in Egyptian and Akkadian sources, all come from the original version of the Sumerians, and you know, basically their gods, when they visited them, having the power of flight, they didn't understand technology like we do today, calling, you know, things that we don't understand, UFOs and aliens. So they gave everything a spiritual review, and since they didn't understand technology, they would put wings on the beings to show that they had the power of flight. And that idea of just trying to convey that something had the power of flight, all throughout history, we see on artwork and you know, wall reliefs, may indicate to us from the past that they were viewing beings like us with the power of flight.
So the thing that I'm getting at, what I'm seeing, is if we see all the same symbolism representing gods with crosses and healing with crosses, Celtic crosses showing the crossing of a planet or the return of a planet, Nibiru, Nemesis, Vulcan, the return of another sun or star, or the return of a sun, or the appearance of a new Lucifer, or whatever you want to call it, what we're looking at here, really, is we're looking at the metaphor for the coming of something from space, right? Like perhaps God, Jesus, Imam, you know, Mahdi, whatever you want to call it. And we've been talking about these things. And even Mamoun Ahmadinejad had said that we played this last week, the Mahdi is ready to return. And all they need to do is start a war with chaos in order for the Mahdi to return from outer space. The Christians are waiting for Jesus Christ to return from outer space. You know, we're waiting. We're now hearing that maybe there's another sun or a star out there that's going to be coming into our orbit, which is we'll be seeing it with the naked eye, like a great God in the sky. I mean, is this a metaphor? Is this something that we've seen before and we're now going to be able to see again?
Well, you know, Clyde, you bring up some interesting correlations tonight that are I'm finding. You know, this. It's kind of in alignment with the current research I'm doing, but it's kind of like leaning towards the question of where did all the ancient gods go? Where did all these beings that we used to interact with go? And the reason why I say that is this. My current research, shows me that, you know, we hear this theory of Atlantis. Everyone's heard of an idea that there was an advanced culture on some continent that sunk into the ocean or has now disappeared. So we can't find them, but they were an advanced culture, and they existed off the time of chart, off the current chart of time that we're aware of. Now, what I see is all around the world, on every continent, there are megalithic structures left from a time that if there was an advanced technological civilization here on Earth, they would have been a global civilization. So we do see monuments on every continent that are extremely advanced in their architecture, aligned to astronomical points beyond the precision of what we can even do today. And if you ask the people and all the cultures who built these monuments, they were built by the gods, or they were built for the gods.
Right.
Okay, so where did the gods go? And so, yes, maybe we are leading up to a time, you know, at some point, that this will cross over. And if I can quickly give a 30-second analogy, I don't know.
Well, we're going to go to break, and okay, then we'll come back and give that 30-second analogy. Hold that thought. Some really great stuff from Jason Martell tonight. XFacts.com, XFacts.com, if you want to know more about Planet X. It seems that NASA and several other people are now interested in the idea of a dwarf companion to the sun, perhaps another planetary body moving into our solar system, wreaking havoc on the planet. This is something that came up during the week, something that I wanted to tell you about. I can't believe I'm reporting it to you, but yes, it is real. Planet X. Maybe we should reconsider the possibility that it's coming. Or, if Planet X may be a metaphor for several other pantheons of gods, saviors, perhaps even monsters coming from outer space. What do you think? 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Planet X is the force needed to finally break the absolute control that this hidden reptilian race has had over Earth since they won a battle in space thousands of years ago.
I'm Clyde Lewis. This is Ground Zero. Tonight, Jason Martell with us, xfacts.com. That's xfacts.com. Once again, reiterating that NASA is considering investigating the possibility, and I'm not kidding, that there is a companion star that is flinging asteroids and comets at the sun, possibly at Earth. Also, that rings a little bit of bells here about Planet X. And so we brought Jason Martell on to talk about Planet X. Now, you were going to give a 30-second analogy. What were you going to say, Jason?
Well, quickly, not so much related to Planet X, but as we start to talk about, and it's a nice kind of a segue about these topics, is, you know, everyone gets excited when they hear this information, the Wormwood, the Nibiru, the Planet X, all these connections, and they think, my gosh, something is coming. But what if that something isn't a negative thing, it's a positive thing? I don't know that that's the case. I hope that it is. But an analogy I'd like to say is, you know, there was a time when we were connected with these beings that are beyond us. You know, they've been called gods by our ancient man, and we're lacking that chain of life here on Earth as a human race for a species. And here's the analogy is, you know, I love my animals. I have four pets. I've got a bird, a couple of turtles, and an iguana, and I inundate them with love and caring. And you know, they always kind of have a sense that that big being, that human, Jason, he has my back. We're missing that. As human beings, why don't we get to experience that? That at some point, it looks like our ancestors did have that connection. Imagine what that would do for the human race, Clyde, if there was a species that connected all human beings with the understanding that there's something larger than us that is watching over us and does have an interest in us, no matter what we're doing in our daily lives. I think that would make a huge spiritual difference for people. If we did just have that basic connection, like we give to our animals, of no matter what happens, we've got you.
Yeah, that's a good thought. It's a good thought to know rather than have faith. The only problem is I'm thinking to myself that there needs to be some sort of a reprogramming of the species, because I've always talked about Childhood's End, Arthur Clarke's Childhood's End, because if these beings look anything like they did in the book, then people would reject them outright. They'd say, no, these aren't what we want. This isn't exactly, I mean, this doesn't match the Renaissance paintings that we see. Jesus looks nothing like this. This being looks nothing like our God that we worship. And that's the thing that I'm looking at here, is that we'll have a group of people that, you know, it can't be easily fit into a box. It can't be as right. simple as, you know, a nice fairy tale, as I call magical mystery Jew coming out of the sky and saying, I'm the guy that you're looking for. I'm wearing the terry cloth robe. I have a mullet in my head. I look like I can change your transmission. I'm Jesus. Hi. Doesn't happen. Okay. Not going to happen that way. It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen with floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, rings, you know, wormholes of fire coming down from the sky, and possibly a huge planet coming into the solar system we've never seen before, and it's just waiting there for us to communicate with it. It just seems to be right out of the page of Star Trek, right out of the page of Star Wars, but yet it's going to be something that we didn't even plan on. It's going to be something that's going to freak us out because we were too busy reading our Bibles and looking at those Renaissance paintings and believing everything we were told, instead of opening our minds to new possibilities. Am I right, you think? Or do you think that it's going to be as simple as that?
Well, you touch on a many different variables there that I would say, you know, from the research that I've done on the topic of Planet X and Nibiru, I don't see any red flags in the near horizon of 2012 that connect Planet X as an actual event that's going to, you know, occur.
Hmm.
However, all the other things that you mentioned, as far as, you know, the more frequency of climactic events within our weather and things happening on other planets, things hitting the sun, there is a rise in activity, and there are all kinds of theories abound now as to what that means.
Right.
And who knows? But
yeah.
You know, it is an interesting coincidence that some of these things do fall in alignment.
Exactly.
Predictions, you know, made by, you know, past cultures or information that has been said to come into fruition around these times.
We're going to take a break right now. Jason Martell is my guest. Xfacts.com. 1-800-344-KUFO is the number to call. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. If you have any questions for Jason, or if you have your thoughts about what's going on, why is NASA having an about face now and saying something out there may be coming at us? Needs to be investigated. We may not be able to see it with our eyes, but we can see it with instruments. It's huge, it's dark, and it may be even the legend of the Black Sun. We'll be back. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
I'm recording this in case anyone ever finds it, so you can see. You can see how the world ended.
And it could be humanity's most important message.
We have to be open to the possibility that it's a recurring cycle of destruction, because that's precisely what the ancient myths say.
We scientists made a mistake. We thought that the next cycle was going to be quiet. Well, some of our data was off by a factor of 20, and that's why we're issuing this alert now.
Time. winds, of course, can spread radioactive contamination. Wind patterns today and tomorrow, even possible shower activity late tomorrow, should keep anything in the air isolated within the general area. So far, what's been happening is sudden puffs of radioactive gas venting into the atmosphere and quickly dispersing. It does not contaminate land or water. Just what is the meaning of all those confusing dose levels we've been hearing about? How do those brief puffs of high radiation compare to what the human body is normally exposed to?
The world ended. The world ended.
It's eerie. It's black here. Getting to be totally black. People are hushed in what almost seems like a ritual thing that mankind has been silenced by in awe since the beginning of civilization.
The world ended.
Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. If there were a B-movie you were living in, this is it. If there were a nightmare that was going to keep you up at night, worried if there were aliens under your bed or demons, this would be the show that would put that into your head. Yes, this is Ground Zero. It's not your father's talk show. Nor is it a talk show like any you've heard. Music and strangeness. Topics that make you think, all based on the weirdness that is this planet, planet Earth. And now the possibility of a companion star following our sun that NASA wants to investigate. It's all part of the legend of Nibiru, the legend of Planet X, Vulcan, the Black Sun, the Death Star. You know, the Black Sun symbol had several meanings anciently. It represented the Dark Star, the Death Star, the Fallen Star, the Dark Moon. Hitler became a member of the Black Sun Society back in history, if you read about this. Theosophist Madame Blavatsky was one of the founders of the Thule Society. She wrote a book just to let you know, just give you an idea of what this star means to these power elite weirdos. Okay. Blavatsky wrote, "The sudden star, though seen by all of the Earth, does not elicit the fear it should, even as the fire begins to stain the northern skies. But when Mars retreats from Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer, and the blue light separates from the green, know that war and sudden destruction is at hand as the black sun rises once again." It was written in the old sacred texts from the wormhole that there would be a wormhole and fiery rocks and comets would come down. Blavatsky wrote this and said that if we looked at what the Chaldeans, the ancient Sumerians and the Chaldeans and the and those who created magic, the Hermetic Book of Numbers, if we were to read these books, what we would see, we would find allegorical language of Hermes, Cadmus, Thuti, thrice great Trismegistus. "In the beginning of time," she says, "the great invisible one," and this is what NASA says, okay, says that the great planet or dwarf is invisible, and she says, and this is before NASA even said any of this, this was all philosophical mumbo-jumbo that fueled the Third Reich and several other groups. It says, "the great invisible one and his holy hands full of celestial matter, which he scattered throughout the infinity, and lo and behold, balls of fire and balls of clay shall rain down scattered like the moving metal into many smaller balls and began their ceaseless turning," talking about the Big Bang and how these balls of clay were put together and they were balls of pure divine fire. Basically, the Big Bang, basically creating the doorway, the wormhole, the extension of leaping from this planet into the next. You heard the Farrakhan statement that I had at the beginning where he was talking about a great and large man-made or human-made or being-made UFO planetoid that was in space, that was hovering around the sun, that they were able to make columns of air that could burn and cause fire to come down from the skies. The Catholic Church has said this exists now. Now the Nation of Islam is talking about it. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, we're talking about the Shia and the Sunni saying that the Mahdi is going to return. We talked about this last week. You know, it, when people in power are talking about this, it may not affect you now, but it's going to affect you later. My guest tonight, Jason Martell. Jason Martell is with us tonight, xfacts.com. He's talked about Planet X tonight. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-344-KUFO. 1-800-344-KUFO, and we're hoping that the phones will work for us tonight, Jason. We've had some problems in the past, but we're going to give it a shot. How's that sound? You want to get to the calls tonight?
Sure, sure. That sounds good.
All right, let's go to Mike now. Hi, Mike. You're on with Jason Martell. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Clive. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead, Mike.
There we go. I just find it funny you bring up CMEs. Just to the fact that you brought it up a few weeks ago, and I looked into it quite curiously, and did a little research on this, I find some of the things you say very interesting, and some of the things I found on SoHo and some of the other sites are very interesting, too.
So are you verifying what I'm saying is true?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said, are you verifying that what I am saying is true about what's going on with the sun?
Exactly. Well, you know, it kind of goes in cycles of 9 to 14 years is what it's been said. And we're in cycle 24, supposedly, supposed to end in 2013. At least that's what they're predicting.
I hear 2017, but that's give or take a few years. And I hear that the long count is supposed to begin next year instead of, you know, everybody's wondering about 2012 and December 21st or whatever, but it's supposed to begin long before that.
Exactly. And, you know, obviously NASA, they've been off by, what, 20% on what they're saying?
Right.
So, well, what I'm thinking, though, is if you look back 9 to 10 years, or 2001, at some of the CMEs that happened back then, there was actual evidence of disruption of power in Canada in 2001 of April. CMEs are large enough that really, you can, if you watch Soho's, what do you call them, their videos of the CMEs, the one of April 2nd, 2001 is so violent, it's so large, it's what they call a full halo. It seriously looks like the sun is exploding. I mean, it is actually scary to watch.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the 1859 Carrington event?
Yes, I have. Yes. I've heard about them all. I'm well aware of that.
The telegraph system was knocked out.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason, for that. What was that again? Say it again.
Exactly. 1859 Carrington event where telegraph offices were set on fire by a CME that was so strong it penetrated our ionosphere with X-rays. Now, you've been talking about predictive programming, right?
Right.
And look at the movie Knowing.
Oh, Knowing. I point out Knowing in my website that Knowing was exactly what that was. And also 2012, remember, it was a solar storm, a CME, that triggered the volcano in Yellowstone.
Exactly. I mean, they're predictive programming. Also, it doesn't just show up in movies. Look at the series Dark Angel with Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah.
So, EMP supposedly set off and takes out all the electricity in the United States, causes us to go back to a third world country.
Yep. Hello? Yeah, that's right. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a very good call. Yeah, Jason, you were going to comment?
Well, I would say that simply that, you know, if all of a sudden the worldwide communication systems go out, meaning something knocks out all of the satellite, all of the GPS, that's usually a good sign that something is happening. So a coronal mass ejection of a proportional scale could definitely do something of that magnitude, and scientists are aware of that possibility.
Well, NASA has now said, like I said, Michio Kaku said they were off in their cyclical predictions by a factor of 20, and they said that we were wrong. It's going to be more violent than we realize, and the scary part is that we rely wholeheartedly on electronics for our money transactions, for our health, for a lot of things, and if we lose that power, we're going to go back to an agrarian society.
It would be very interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, back to horse and buggy and back to all that stuff. It'd be kind of weird to look at. Let's go to David now. Hi, David. You're on Ground Zero with Jason Martell. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is David. First off, I want to say I'm glad I found you again after not seeing you forever in Dante's.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
But I was actually on the Ground Zero media earlier today.
Yes.
And I was looking at the Nabari, or the Planet X.
Yes.
First I've ever heard of it. And it looks like it's actually rather correct if you look at all the scenarios with just missing links.
Mm-hmm.
And also being something of a amateur revelations theorist as well as apocalypse and looking at it as a good thing, do you think this could be a culling of the human race, perhaps, say, the world's largest Darwin check ever recorded?
Let's throw that at Jason. Jason, did you catch that? Do you think this is going to be Darwin basically laughing at us and saying, well, I told you so, and this planet's coming in, it's going to wipe out our civilization?
I sure hope not. But, you know, I guess really only time's going to tell.
Right.
I mean, if we look at the evidence from the past, Nibiru does have a connection, for instance, recorded by the Sumerians, the cause of the Great Flood was the passing of this planet, which dislodged one of the ice sheets and dropped off a large chunk of ice into the ocean, instantly raising the water levels 300 feet. And that's why they say there's a great flood, not like the Bible just says, there was a great flood. So there's a lot of information out there that could suggest, you know, a greater expansion of information on this topic.
Yeah, when something moves into our solar system, we actually, the Earth tends to buckle and shift. And of course, this last CME we had, if Chile was a CME, if everything else was a CME, we're looking at what? Knocking the planet off its axis about, 8 centimeters, 3 inches, and shortening our days by 2 or 3 milliseconds? I mean, that's pretty apocalyptic, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, I actually heard it was 1.3 seconds based upon this new Chile earthquake and such. So, there are interesting ramifications to, you know, space-borne activity that can affect us.
It's kind of like when Superman flew backwards around the planet to reverse it. All we need are a few more earthquakes and we can go back in time.
We need a few Supermen. That would be useful.
That'd be great. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Jane now. Hi, Jane. You're on Ground Zero with Jason Martell.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I don't know.
Well, go right ahead and talk. I know sometimes the phones are having you can hear. Go ahead.
I can't hear you at all.
All right. We'll go to another call then. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. Go to Colin now. Hi, Colin. You're on Ground Zero. Colin, hello. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you need?
Good. I just saw that you were talking earlier about the NASA was off by 20% or so.
No, that by a factor of 20. Michio Kaku said it.
I'm just wondering if you guys can explain that a little bit further on there.
Don't know what it means. Just the Kaku said it on Fox. He said that they said the cycles were off by 20%. He said they're by a factor of 20. They made a mistake. They said that the sun is going to be more violent than they originally predicted, and we may see ourselves in a time we're going to be hit hard by these large sunstorms, solar storms. And now they're saying that the reason why these sunstorms are happening is because something or some power is flinging large asteroids, large comets into the sun. If you go to my website at groundzeromedia.org, you can see these things going into the sun. It's the most amazing thing you'll ever see. It's like somebody's trying to destroy the sun.
I was having trouble hearing you on that. The phone line is not too good.
I'm sorry. I'll say it again on the air. Listen on the air. We'll go to that. Okay? Thanks. What I'm saying is that, you know, NASA now is considering some very drastic things. They're looking into the possibility that these asteroids and these comets that are being flung into the sun. If you go to groundzeromedia.org, go to my website, you can see that we've been tracking the activity of the sun since we had the report from Rex Church that this ring of fire was seen over Chile, that he remote viewed it, and he said it was something from the sun that was directly hit at 33.3 degrees, southern hemisphere. He said it was with intelligence, and he says it came from the sun, and he says something has hurled that towards us. And we had said, well, something in space might be coming towards us. We don't know. And then what threw me for a loop, was when I saw this article in the Telegraph stating that NASA is reconsidering the possibility that a star or planet or whatever that you don't normally see is coming into our system. And they're going to be using the WISE probes to try and detect it, because they're wondering why last week there were at least four comets and asteroids the size of the planet Mercury that were hurled at the sun. Okay? I'm not joking. This sent a huge coronal mass ejection at the planet, and people were seeing the northern lights in the sky on the 18th here in Oregon. Now, we had determined there was a CME that may have caused the earthquake in Chile, hit the South Atlantic anomaly, and this is why we're hearing about also this volcano that erupted in Iceland and a number of other anomalies. Jason Martell is my guest tonight, talking about the possibility of Planet X, the Black Sun, Nibiru, Vulcan, Nemesis. They have several names. It's all part of this metaphor, this meme, that is part of our ancient history. And this is beyond the Bible. This is beyond anything you can comprehend. We may be meeting up with something that we may have seen thousands of years ago. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
Zero with host Clyde Lewis.
You know, when I roll out topics like this, I'm sure a lot of people are out there going, what does this have to do with me, Clyde? Why are you talking about this? You know, this is something that's hypothetical. It's very important you should know this. And why is that? I'll tell you why. Because your cell phone's not going to work. Your car's not going to work. Your TV's not going to work. Your computer's not going to work. All these things are not going to work. Why? Because the sun controls a lot of things. And if it sends a nice little CME your way, or if something comes into the solar system that doesn't belong there, like a rogue planet or a dwarf star or something that NASA's investigating because they can't figure out why all these things were being hurled at the sun last week. You got to understand, man, we live in times that are very fascinating. As I say, 21st century thinking, put away the 13th century thinking. You got to think ahead to the future. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Global warming. Al Gore is not going to save you. Okay, all this money going to third world countries and all this tax money they want to milk out of you and say that it's your fault that this is happening is crap. Okay, if they were saying, hey, we're going to put this money towards trying to protect the Earth with something that would be useful against a rogue planet, a rogue star, or maybe an asteroid the size of Texas that may come in and wipe us all out, I'd say I'm all for it. Why? Because space weather is far more frightening than terrorism, far more frightening than anything that can happen with ice caps melting or whatever, because you just cannot control the sun. It's a pretty big character, right? In fact, people worshipped the sun back in the old days because they couldn't control it. Jason Martell is my guest tonight, talking about Nemesis, talking about Nibiru, talking about Planet X. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO if you have any questions. I mean, if you're completely blown away by this and you don't know what I'm talking about, you can ask some questions of me or Jason. 1-800-344-KUFO. So, Jason, I know that you're going to have to leave pretty soon. What are some of the things you want to tell us about what we can expect from these anomalies and strange things happening in space?
Well, you know what's interesting, Lloyd, is Clyde, one only needs to look to what the ancients have recorded as far as paranormal or events taking place in the heavens that they didn't quite understand. And the way they interpret it is an interesting scenario for us to get a case scenario of how human beings in general just react to things that we're not familiar with. If we look at some of the Aboriginal tribes in Africa and in Australia, when, for instance, in World War I and World War II, when Americans flew over these remote parts for the first time and landed and interacted with some of the Aborigines, you know, these people had never seen a white man, had never seen a plane, any type of advanced flying machine, and they didn't understand the technology that was being shown to them. And there's a term that's used today called cargo cult, which simply means that these tribes started to worship the soldiers and basically built straw models of aircraft just like the plane. Even though they didn't understand how the plane worked, they built models of the plane and scraped away runways out of the brush, hoping to lure them back, simply because they didn't understand that it was technology, and they interpreted these beings, you know, and the technology of the, you know, the flight of the plane as godlike. So a lot of these things, you know, can be a model for how we would handle that. The term cargo cult simply came from the fact that these soldiers would have drop shipments from planes that would, you know, send them supplies and such, and sometimes these shipments wouldn't land at the base camp. They'd land in the middle of a tribe. Tribe cracks open this crate, and it's got food and all kinds of advanced, you know, mechanical devices, hammers and saws. They thought it was from the gods. So I think there's a lot of things that we can look to the past as how ancient man has recorded interaction with things beyond this earth, to see a model for how we are going to handle the same type of reaction we'll all have to go through if something on the level of a magnitude like a catastrophic event that's coming from space takes place. But maybe on the other side of that, just something coming or something that we interact with that is, you know, more than what we can comprehend with our science at this point.
So do you think in a panic situation we revert back to our primitive thinking? It just seems to me that it's hard. In these times, we're living in the 21st century, and ever since 9/11, I find myself seeing America thinking, and a lot of the world, too, having this primitive view of how things are. We're reverting back to wacky religious eschatologies. We're going back in time and saying, well, I guess a rapture's due, or the Jesus is coming soon, and we hear about the Mahdi with the Sunnis and the Shia. We hear of the anointed king with the Jews and the Israelis, and now we're going to hear that, you know, we're not doing well with them. I mean, it's like we're fighting these wars over these primitive thinking ideologies, and it's all going to be for naught if something huge comes from space and basically decides to squat right here and take a dump all over us, right?
Well, I guess that's definitely one possibility, and hopefully instead of a dump, maybe we could get some good blessings and needed interaction that would help the spiritual and technological needs of the human race in the long run. I really do think that we are coming towards a precipice of change based upon the, you know, consumption of natural resources and population growth and just the overall expansion of our knowledge from leaving that simple black and white view of science and religion butting heads over these topics, trying to figure out where we come from.
But don't you think this leaves us vulnerable? I mean, think about it. I mean, we've been set up for this. We've been set up with the idea that 2012 is going to come and kick our butts. We've been set up with the idea that, you know, the Book of Revelation is going to come and kick our butts. We've been given the idea that Nostradamus has predictions going to come and kick our butts. Doesn't that leave us vulnerable for control? I mean, wouldn't it be nice, or wouldn't it be interesting if you had a lot of money and there were people that you wanted to have do your bidding? All you'd have to do is just make stuff happen in space, or make up a story about Planet X or a dwarf star, and everybody's like all going, "Oh my God, now what?" I mean, don't you think that'd be a little bit convenient for our government to do that now?
That is one of the scenarios predicted in Alternative 3 and various other documents like MJ-12. I recommend people Google Alternative 3 or MJ-12. And quickly, it's just kind of an esoteric side note real quickly. phrase MJ-12, the MJ-12 documents, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure.
Another interesting thing is that Nibiru, or Planet X, passes between Mars and Jupiter, where the asteroid belt is. So we're talking about the 12th planet passing between Mars and Jupiter, MJ-12.
Oh, my God.
But I have no idea if that means anything. I always
I've never heard of that before.
But let me just lay one last thing on you, Clyde. It's just kind of a personal plug, if that's okay.
Sure.
Aside from being fascinated with ancient technology, I also make a living and deal with modern technology. I've developed a tool. If anyone has an iPhone, they can log into the App Store now or go into iTunes and type in Paranormal Sightings Tool. I've developed an application that allows people to report paranormal activity, UFOs, aliens, or, you know, a ghost, from their iPhone. They can take pictures and record the longitude and latitude, and all this information is stored within a map that you can access within your phone. You can also see all of this information live on UFOsocial.com, which is tied into the iPhone application for reporting sightings within the field. So I've developed some new technology that I'm encouraging paranormal investigators and ufologists to use, because now we can actually track real-time UFO sightings and have statistical data based on longitude and latitude coordinates of these sightings.
That's a remarkable idea. I got a question for you. Are you going to be seen on any of these networks anymore? I mean, you're on History Channel, Discovery Channel. I mean, where are we going to be seeing you again?
I've got some things in the works. I'll just quickly say that the use of this tool is going to have a team of investigators that are going to go into the field and investigate potential leads on good sightings that will be made into an upcoming TV series.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you telling us about it and where we're going with it. Jason Martell, xfacts.com is the place to go. That's xfacts.com. Thank you, Jason. I know we've got to turn you loose early, but really fascinating stuff tonight about Planet X, about Nibiru, and, of course, all the other names they give it.
Thank you so much, Clyde. Anytime. I'd love to come on your show.
Thank you so much, and we'll be hearing, I'm sure, from you again soon, because the way things are going, I don't think that we'll have to wait to hear from you again. It'll be great stuff to talk about this stuff. Okay?
Talk soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jason Martell of XFacts.com, we thank you for being on the program tonight. We'll be back with more. I'm going to elaborate a little bit more about just what is this, so you guys can call in at 1-800-344-KUFO. It's between you and I now. We can talk about it. Keep it here. 1-800-344-KUFO. We'll be back. I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Around January 18th, NASA stereo monitors were beginning to register what appeared to be a large planet-sized UFO around the sun. Giant UFOs have appeared around the sun before, and they've been monitored and recorded by NASA stereo spacecraft. The present giant solar UFO wave, which we're seeing January 18th, the most recent reoccurring phenomenon that we've talked about, there was a number of things going on in the skies above the sun, the atmosphere above the sun. Large Mercury-sized comets and meteors being flung at the sun to cause it to explode. I'm not making this up, okay? And a number of callers have called to back up what I'm saying. I'm not making it up. You're saying, well, why am I not hearing it on the news? Do you think they'll report this to you on the news? Do you think they will? No, they won't. I will, because I think you are grown up enough to understand it, and you can figure it out. But what's really interesting is how NASA, back in the time where 2012 the movie was being released, they said, oh, not to worry, this isn't going to happen, not to worry, you know, and all these people that think the Planet X is coming into the picture, or this dwarf star, or the black sun, or whatever they call these legendary things, all these people who've been worshiping this black sun idea, it's not going to happen. Now, many of you are saying, well, I've never heard of it before. Well, it's because either A, you weren't paying attention to history, because Hitler was a big fan of the black sun, the Hitler Youth was a big fan of the black sun. If you take a look at Obama, he's got a nice little sun symbol that he uses. I mean, come on. You look at Japan, they got the big sun that they use, right? It's because they have this is all part of that occult, elite, approximation, predictive programming stuff that I've talked about before. Okay? Don't make this stuff up. 1-800-344-KUFO. That's 1-800-344-KUFO. Let's go to Steven now. Hi, Steven. You're on Ground Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my room and thinking, you guys said something about the black sun passing in front of the sky, right? In front of the sun, right?
NASA's saying they're investigating it. What?
the ancient people may have somehow saw this and saw it as a giant iris of an eye.
Yeah.
They may have thought it was just a giant eye.
Yeah, you're right.
So I was just thinking maybe it's somehow connected to that.
Could be, and you're right. It could be. I mean, it could have been Venus passing in front of the sun. It could be the moon passing in front of the sun, and they saw a big giant eye. Yeah, you're right, and that's the thing. And see, but now, you know, I would say, you know, you're pretty darn close, probably correct, but NASA's saying, wait a minute, there's something out there, a dwarf star that we can't see that maybe we need to look into.
NASA's not all that smart.
What's that?
Yeah, NASA's not all that smart. They want to be.
You don't think that's smart for them to say that?
I took a giant flashlight and, you know, those circle things from, like, notebook papers?
Mm-hmm.
I tossed that on there and put it right in the center. It looks like a giant iris from the eye. My
so
mom
maybe,
also says,
so maybe,
NASA also says there's no new UFO.
That's true. You're very right. I stand right.
So I just thought I'd throw my ID in there.
Thank you for your call. Great call.
Yeah. That was a great call.
Let's go to Jason now. Hi, Jason. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, I had a question and a comment, actually.
Sure.
My question is that I haven't really ever heard of this Planet X, only that it's like it's just a planet that's supposedly in our solar system. Is that just pretty accurate, or am I
It's
way?
Called the 12th planet, yes, and it's got a huge orbit, allegedly, and I'm saying this is a hypothetical planet, okay? It's something that Zachariah Sitchin had come up with, something a number of people have commented on. It's called Nibiru. The Hopis talked about it. The Sumerians talked about it. It was called the winged planet or the disk planet. It passed in front of the sun, scared a lot of people. It evolved into becoming the idea of another star that the sun may have, a binary system. They called it Vulcan. Some people call it Vulcan. Other people call it Nemesis. It has been called it's been called the Death Star, a number of names.
Okay, my comment is back to what you were talking with the other Jason about on CMEs,
mm-hmm.
is that if this had indeed knocked out our power systems and whatnot, is it possible that the other third world countries who are accustomed to that lifestyle might be in a more political position of power? Because they've been living their lifestyle a lot longer,
of course,
than we would have been.
Mm-hmm. You are right. This is the great equalizer. If this happens, it will equalize the playing field, and then we find out just who has the power. And I'm wondering if it would go back to the churches. I wonder if it would go back to the empires. I'm just curious as to if it did happen and it equalized the playing field of the entire Earth, where would the power structure be? It certainly wouldn't be with us.
Well, I think that the way it would work, actually, the way I'm saying it, though, is that the people that are the third world countries right now are so accustomed to their lifestyle that it would possibly put them in a stronger position than us.